Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 9 today. Picking up in verse 9, right in the heat of the battle here. Heard of the battle of the century before, but this is the battle of eternity, and literally so. Talking about eternal stakes here, where truth and righteousness, God, all being tested here and being brought out into the light. So, quite a battle between Satan, representing the kingdom of darkness, and Jesus, representing the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of light. The wilderness of Israel is where the physical ring is, where this is happening. And the opponents have been preparing for the fight. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and he was hungry, it says here. He certainly was. But he's not going to identify with that, and that's the first round that we went through in the battle here. There's three rounds in this battle before the knockout. Three rounds, and the first round was the identity of Jesus Christ. The what, really, of what he represents. He represents truth. What defines truth? What truth will Jesus identify with here? A, the hungry, starving person? Or B, the one that says, I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God? He's going to identify with one of those, and he identified with the correct one, and that's with B, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what he identifies with. He says, that's what I'm about. That's who I am, not the hungry, starving person, even though that's something I feel. I feel the great draw to that temptation. But you know what I'm going to identify with? I'm going to identify with this other thing. Not my hunger. I'm going to identify with the Word of God. So he wins that round. He identifies not with his desire for bread, the smell and all those things and things that triggers our desires, but he's going to identify with the Word of God. He has an option to say, I am Jesus, the starving food addict, or Jesus filled with the Spirit. We went into Galatians last week when we talked about this, and we compared the flesh versus the Spirit. You see that in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruits of the flesh are manifest this way, and jealousies and evil thinkings and all these, there's quite a list there, and then it compares that to the fruits of the Spirit. And we're given the same choice. In every circumstance, every day, we're given the same choice. There is before us to go the way of the flesh or the way of the Spirit. We're given a choice to choose one or the other. Say, you know what? I'm going to identify with this, the fruits of the Spirit. I know my flesh is pulling me in the direction of punching this person in the face, of doing this, of saying a sharp remark to cut someone down. I know my flesh is pulling. I can feel it. I can feel the tide pulling me out. But you know what? I'm going to stand on who I really am in Christ Jesus. I'm going to choose the fruit of the Spirit. And that power is right there. It is not something we manufacture. You are simply a traffic cop blowing the whistle and saying, God, you can move here. And he will enable, in that situation, the power, the love, the manifestation of the Spirit. You do not manufacture that. You are given the free will to decide, though. To allow the flesh to have its way, where it's beeping its horn there in the traffic circle. I want to get through. Let me through. I want to punch this guy. I want to choke him. I want to get this gossip out. I've got to. And you're honking the horn. And you hear that. Your free will hears that. It's like, man, that's pretty loud. You know, it's kind of driving me crazy here. And in the other side of the intersection, the Holy Spirit, the gentle one, wants to come through and do his work. So as we mature in God, we get to not listen to the loud one as much, but get to listen to the truth. Get to be able to discern the truth. Had an issue actually Friday. We're going to be talking about computers today because I'm a geek. And I was talking to Brian actually last night about computers and security and all these threats that go on and all these things. So I'm involved in a lot of that and paralleling some of these things. So you'll be hearing that throughout today. But this week at work, I was in a situation that was what appeared to be an emergency. A person called and said, you know what, I'm locked out of my system. I'm an office manager. And, you know, and the panic, the beeping the horn. Let me through. Give me the password. I've got to get in. People have got to get to work. this lady was freaking out. This is a real story. It happened Friday. And I'm hearing that, and I'm like, I'm not going to allow, just because of the sound level of her voice and the panic that's going on here, to succumb to that just because she's beeping her horn real loud. So the truth was that we had to follow a procedure and take care of this, and there was the right way to go, and chose that over the panic situation. So we'll be talking about some of those parallels today. Amen. Choosing the flesh over the spirit. Identifying with who you are in Christ. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes with all the temptations and the things and events that happen every day. The temptations that are there to go one direction or the other. Jesus chooses to believe his identity is with verse 1 here. Where he was led by the Spirit. That's who he is. He's got the Spirit of God. He's going to identify with that. Filled with the Holy Ghost. When the temptation comes for us, we do the same thing. We're going to identify with that. That's his return punch in this round. Is identifying with who he really is. And it's a statement of faith. That's a statement of faith. When I stand down and say, hey, you know what? I'm not that. I am this. That's a statement of faith. And faith is sourced in the Word of God. It's evidence of things unseen. It's substance of things hoped for. It's sourced in the Word of God. It's a statement of faith to stand there and say, you know what, I'm going to allow God to move in this situation. That's a statement of faith. Statements of faith identify who you really are. I am not that addiction. I'm not that desire. That's not really the full description of me. I feel it. The bread looks good, the drink looks good, the whatever looks good, but that's not who I am. That is a desire, and it does not rule the roost. I can take that desire and ignore it, or even better, plug into the power receptacle of the cross and see that desire die. I can go back to my statement of faith that I'm a new creature in Christ, crucified and raised with him. As I'm doing that, I'm plugging into real power. A marriage vow is a statement of faith. I like how it was referred to in our marriage series as a building with four walls that you're in. It's like, okay, this is where I'm going to make it work here. I'm in here and I'm going to make it work here. I'm not looking to bust holes out of the walls. That's a statement of faith. I've made a vow. That vow has constructed an area I live in called marriage, and I'm going to make it work in here. No matter if I'm feeling cruddy that day or the emotions are this, you know what? I'm staying right in here regardless. I might be passed out on the couch, but at least I'm in the house. That's a statement of faith. A vow is a statement of faith between two people. It's a commitment. When we make such statements of faith, we do so in our walk with God as well. It's the same kind of building. There's the construction, there's a foundation, there's walls, there's a roof. And we decide, you know what? This is what I am living in. This state of being a new creature in Christ. I am going to live within this structure. Desire says, open the door and leave your commitment to Christ. Faith says, that's not who I am. I'm staying within these four walls, this foundation, this roof, this bathroom, this refrigerator. All of these provisions of God that he supplied for me, I'm staying right here and believing that he will supply my needs. Round two was about authority. So we have round one was the what, identifying truth, defining truth, who you really are, the identity of Christ, who is the truth. Round two is about authority, the who. Jesus is being made an offer. It says he's taken up to a high mountain here. Showing all the glory of the world. It's kind of like a Syracuse game with all electricity. Man, it's exciting. Powerful things, energy. All in a brief moment, it says there. Verses 5 through 8. Ephesians 6, it was read this morning, speaks of those principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Satan was showing him his office on a high mountain. Remember last week we talked about, I don't want that mountain. Kind of a spoof of a song that we used to sing back at the Baptist church. Jesus, all he had to do was click on I agree in that situation. I agree to worship you, Satan. Just click the button. You're busy. You have things to do, responsibilities, soccer, basketball, baseball, oh my. Just click the situation of compromise. Just click it. Just click it. A little whining, a little sharp, deadly, poisonous word to come off your lips to sink into the bloodstream of your loved ones and slowly watch them die. Just click. Authority speaks to the who. Who is on the throne of your life? Many of our testimonies include the who, the what and the who, the where and the how. I got saved. This was what happened. And then a lot of the testimony as it goes forward is about the who. Who is on the throne of your life and giving more over to God in your life. It's called sanctification. God made a word for it. That's very normal. A lot of times we get confused. Is that person really saved? A lot of times it's a lordship issue. They've been saved, and now they're going through a sanctification process of letting go of that throne, that area of authority in their life. We're put in that in lots of different situations where it's like, just bow down and worship me. Just say that deadly poison. Go ahead, click agree. Just worship me. Take control of this situation. Throughout the day, we're giving those choices, aren't we? To rule our own roost. So authority is all throughout the Bible. We talked about that. Doing a lot of review there for good reason today. Proverbs 3 talks about authority. In all thy ways, acknowledge yourself. No. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. So with the acknowledgement, with the lordship of God, there's a promise. He's going to direct you. That's great leadership. It's great to have a leader that actually directs you. It's not just, oh, well, yeah, God's in charge. He created everything and all that, and that's good. He's God. But once you acknowledge that in that situation, direction comes. He is a God. He is a shepherd that wants to lead us. In fact, it says that in Psalm 23. It really ices the cake. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Round 3. Bing. You guys ready? Round 3 has to do with the what and the who together in a word we call integrity. So taking the what, the word, the truth, the word of God, and the who, God himself, the Spirit of God together, integrity. 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 Verses 9 through 12. And he brought him to Jerusalem. This is Satan bringing Jesus. Remember, this was out in the wilderness, and Satan has the ability to actually move him to different places, show him things. Now from the mountain, he's taking him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. If thou be the Son of God, challenging who Jesus is all the way through here, all day long, challenging who you are. This will be something that you might not be attacked. It's not a might. You will be attacked on. Are you really a child of God? You had that thought. You did this action. You said that word. Are you really a child of God? A fiery dart from the enemy. You will hear that. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. So he's up on the very point of the temple. It doesn't sound like a comfortable place to be. But in this event, he's saying, go ahead and cast yourself down from there. Go ahead, jump. And he quotes something here. He says, well, one of my demons will catch you. No, he says, God will. He quotes the word of God inaccurately. He quotes from Psalm 91. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Two verses from the scripture, from Psalm 91, he quotes. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, this is how we open service today, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all his temptation, he departed from him for a season. Praise God. Integrity. You can write the word integrity in your margin there if you have room, or if you're taking notes. And you can capitalize the letters G-R-I-T in that word. Integrity. It has something to do with grit. True grit. Forbes magazine had an article recently. It said 5 characteristics of true grit. How many do you have? And we all like those little polls that we take. And it's, oh, you know what? Did pretty good. I got 4. There was a movie out called True Grit with Jeff Bridges, you know. And there's been portrayals of characters like John Wayne and so forth that have this remarkable quality about them. That they have some type of mission. And no matter what, that mission's going to be done. They're going to serve that mission with courage, with patience. Nothing's going to set them apart from achieving that goal, true grit. So we're going to talk about a grit sandwich today. Speaking of food, making a grit sandwich. How many people like grits? Grits are great, especially true grit. To make a grit sandwich today, we're talking about integrity. Jesus being challenged in the very Word of God. Now it's getting to the nitty-gritty. Integrity is coming to bear. The integrity of what is being conveyed. Is it right? Is it true? Is it true from the Word of God? Is it really God speaking it? The what is accurate, but the who? The what is accurate, it's the Word of God, but who is saying it? Where is it coming from? Is it really applicable to this situation? The who? Is it sourced in God? Integrity. So making this integrity sandwich, you have truth as your meat. That's in the middle. Truth. That's the goal here. We're protecting the truth. We're standing for the truth. Truth will set us free. We know that. It's important. We need to hear the truth. Get direction in our life. Oh, what do I do with this situation? I need the truth. I need the truth. It'll set me free. So to make a grit sandwich, you have truth as your meat. That's what's being challenged there. And as the pieces of bread around that truth, you need courage, boldness, bravery, fearlessness, faith, stomach, spunk, heart, spirit, backbone. That's that bread over that truth. Then on that lower piece of bread, we have patience, perseverance, determination, love, passion, stamina, endurance, tenacity, and unmovability. Patty brought that out in prayer last night. Both boldness and patience, unmovability, were brought out last night in the prayer meeting. And I was excited because of those exact things that I was going to talk about today, as being those layers between the sandwich. They are necessary. Once we have the truth, we need the courage, we need boldness, we need patience and perseverance to live it out, to stand in the truth, because it'll be attacked. Having the truth is great, it sets us free, but now here comes the attack. Well, here it comes. And you're going to need the boldness to stand up to the enemy, and the patience and perseverance to maintain that courage throughout. The truth will be attacked. This was read this morning from Ephesians. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. These layers of bread that hold the truth together, that surround the truth, protecting it, are the provisions of God. We're standing in His strength. It's His boldness. He provides that. The patience of God, the fruit of the Spirit. These things help us endure, help us to guard this truth, which is so precious. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than rubies, we're told. Okay, Pastor, you got me psyched up. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to be persecuted, even die for the truth. I'm going to stand for this truth. I don't care what my friends in school say. I'm going to stand for the truth. Good. You're in the Lord's army. You're like Simeon, who had a clearly defined purpose to see Christ before he died. Once he saw Christ, now he's ready to die. That was the purpose of his life, that he could just see Christ, hold the truth in his arms. Paul, the same way, giving glory to God, pursuing the Lord, and saying, you know what? I'm ready to die. It's all about knowing Jesus Christ. It's all about the truth. But that's good to have that motivation about the truth, ready to die for it, realizing it sets people free, realizing it's the center, that's that buckle in your life, that belt that holds everything together. But how do I know the integrity of this truth that I'm going to die for? How does Jesus know in this situation, this verse that's being quoted to him from the Word of God is from God? It's from the Word of God, but is it from God? Man, it's getting tricky here, isn't it? The battle really has gone up a level, hasn't it? It's not just about bread and fleshy things. Now we're really into the nitty-gritty, the Word of God even being challenged. This will be attacked too, as you stand for truth. There are religious people in this world, of course, we know of, that will die for truth, what they feel is truth. ISIS, Gretchen had a dream about that. Jihad, Buddhist monks lighting themselves on fire. They show the strength surrounding the sandwich they call truth, but is the sandwich good? No, it's rotten. The truth inside isn't worth dying for because it's not good. How do I know the sandwich I have decided to sink my teeth into, this gospel, this Bible, is good? How do I know what I'm hearing from here as I'm reading it is from God? That's what we're talking about in round three today. Integrity, integrity, the what and the who. The what and the who is determined to be accurate and true. That's what our goal is here. Back to computer land, my other hat. In computer land, integrity is so very important. Much effort in the computer sciences even go into integrity. Making sure that the data is true, also who originated that data is correct. It's coming from the original source, that type of thing. Integrity of data involves a lot of computer sciences. What Brian is studying in school now has to do a lot with this. When he talks about VPNs and firewalls, he's talking about all these things. It has to do with integrity of the data that you have. Making sure the data remains true, that it's unchanged from its original source unless it's an authorized change. Even to the smallest detail, and something did change and it wasn't a legitimate change, that be able to detect that, even correct that. Could you imagine, for example, you posted something on a large computer system called Facebook and said, I follow Jesus. You got a picture of a sunset and footprints in the sand and all this good stuff. I follow Jesus and it looks good. And then you log in the next day and you read a comment on that and it says, why do you love Satan? What happened to you, dude? You look at your post and the post has been altered and you're like, I didn't put that on there. We have a word for it. You've been hacked, right? Something happened. The data was changed. You're upset. You feel violated. The integrity of what you wrote, that data is no longer there. It's been compromised. The integrity is no longer valid. It is not true to its original. In the computer world, we use a tool called a checksum, which can check entire Webster's Dictionary, for example, in just a second, and report if one character out of the 500,000 definitions has been changed. Even if a period is missing, the checksum will say it's been changed, the dictionary's been changed from its original source. That's integrity. That's precise integrity. Jesus spoke to the same precision when he said this. Matthew 5:17, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. The law or the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Listen to this. For verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, one period in this compilation shall not pass from the law until all fulfilled. Integrity. Speaking to the integrity of the law, which Jesus was going to fulfill. His birth. The giving of the two doves, his circumcision, all of these things that he's doing to fulfill the law, all of these things that Jesus would do, fulfilling that law to the letter, to the exact verse. Jesus clearly spoke of integrity when he said that one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass. Do you hear that today? His concern over integrity. His concern about the truth being what it is, standing clean and pure and representing who he is. it keeps getting interesting. Very interesting. And this is where many people are confused. Jesus is not a truth. Jesus is the truth. I love Jesus. I love truth. When God speaks, whenever He speaks, it is truth. Hebrews 1:1 backs that up, saying, God, who at sundry times, various times, diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these days, this is Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, has in these days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, all of the creation. So God speaking truth through the prophets, that's the old covenant. And now verse 2, talking about the Son, the new covenant, the gospel. He's authorizing the source of truth here. God the Father is. So these words being recorded, we have them in front of us today, the Old and New Testaments, the Bible. The challenge for us integrity-wise as believers is the transmission from the mouth of God to the mind of man. I want to hear from God on this matter. I don't want to hear from somebody's opinion what this says and then tell me to go do something. And I'm not going to do that to you either. I'm not going to say, you know what, I think you should do this and because this verse says that. I want you to hear from God. The transmission of truth from God to the mind speaks to integrity as well. There are two venues of God being spoken of in Hebrews, the verses I just shared, the Old and New Testaments, the Bible that's before us. The challenge is to get that transmission, to hear from God. How do I hear from God accurately? We know that there's the agencies of man involved here. We have language, grammar, grandpa, translation, culture, dialect, interpretation. All of these things that we have to see the transmission of God's truth into our mind, speaking to us, has to come through the language barriers, the dialect, all of these things. My understanding of things. How do we know what I'm perceiving or hearing and understanding is true? It's truly from God. How do I know if the dress is blue or gold? Is what I'm seeing even reality? Is even what I am seeing reality? Is because I see it, does that make it true? Well, we just found that out last week. No. And you got all these people, millions of people fighting over a dress because of what they're seeing and saying, it's true. No, what I see is true. No, what I see is true. Well, guess what? What you see doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily verify reality. It's a good start, but it doesn't necessarily. It's not the final say. Integrity speaks to this. It's all through the Bible. God is big on integrity. God has grit, true grit. He has passion for truth. The cross speaks of a passionate display of truth in love. God has grit. He has true grit. He speaks truth and has the power to deliver it to you and me. There's a website called accordingtothescriptures.org. Just totally devoted to the purpose of this subject here, the integrity of the scripture. It picks 354 scriptures that say this phrase, according to the scriptures. Why is that important? There are 354 at least passages in the Bible that say this happened according to scriptures. Jesus died on the cross according to scriptures. Jesus did this according to scriptures, fulfilling scriptures. Something that was foretold in the Old Testament, He did. Why is that important? In fact, what I'm going to tell you now is even more sure than the computer sciences you rely on every day. That if you go to a bank site or you go to a site and you log in and you do things like that, and those things that we rely on, it's like, oh, you know, this is safe, this is secure. This is even more secure than that. I'm going to show you why. The tools people rely on every day to make sure the databases and information that you're accessing, that those financial information, for example, are secure. It's the integrity is there. Those tools rely on the past. Those computer science tools rely on the past. That is, the state of the information is known and then it's logged and compared going forward. Okay, this is the state of the information. We take a snapshot of that and we compare it going forward and we know if something changed, if someone attacked that data. That's computer science as far as integrity goes. Checksums, all these tools, all these things we talk about, encryption, all these things have to do with that. That's not bad. But I'm even more impressed with the biblical integrity tools that look at the state of the future. Not the past. So not starting from a point of knowing, okay, here's where we start and we'll take a picture of that. It's taking a picture of the future and saying, this is what will happen. And then when we get there, we'll compare it. It looks at the state of the future, logs it. We see it logged in the Old Testament. And then we compare to it in the New Testament when it says, according to the scriptures, a checksum is happening there. In my mind, as a computer scientist, I see a verification of data. And it's a fantastic way that I could never do as in the computer land. I am completely impressed. I'm completely amazed. So accurate. 354 is just a sample this website puts up. Again, you can go look at it. www.accordingtothescriptures.org. It's about integrity. It's about verifying the truth. You get what I'm saying? Is it too much computer stuff? If I were to tell you to sit down and write the newspaper for February 28th, 2015, happy March, by the way, for yesterday, you could do that and be accurate. You could measure the data that you took, that record that you took, with tools that would detect changes 50 years from now. So you would make your record, and then you would preserve it using certain tools, and later 50 years you'd be able to say, yes, what Patty wrote in that newspaper is accurate. We verified that's accurate. That's exactly how she wrote it. Okay, that's good. Everybody understands that. What if I said I'm not satisfied with that? I want you to write the newspaper for February 28th, 2065. In this case, it would be even longer than that. 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years before that. Accurate, detailed record being fulfilled. Keep in mind, when the New Testament was written, they're writing to an audience that needs this proof. So when they say, according to scriptures, those people understood what they were talking about. They're living in that real-time event, and they're saying, okay, yeah, that really did happen. And they're being drawn into that understanding and that verification process. So writing a newspaper for the future is crazy. Writing it 50 years early. But when you came to that 50-year mark, and then you read that paper, and you compared it to the events, and you said, yeah, that's true, you'd be like, wow. That's an awesome tool. I think I'd want that. I think I want to use that tool. You cannot defeat that. That's amazing. 354 examples of that are there for you. The word has integrity. There's a reason why God put according to scriptures all through there. He's verifying for you and me truth. He's saying this is reliable source material. We can get excited about that. We can be in awe of that. We can appreciate the value of truth and the information presented. That's pretty cool, preacher. But how do I know it is God speaking to me? How do I ensure when I read a passage that I'm hearing from God? The originator is from God. Integrity is really cool. The information is good. It is solid. It's reliable. I'm reading it. But how do I know it's God speaking to me specifically in this situation at this time? Good question. Glad you asked. Jesus is being given a piece of information here in verse 10. Okay? He's given a piece of information here from Satan in verse 10. This is not a quote from Plato or Socrates or Sigmund Freud, but from the scripture itself, directly from the scripture, the written word, played right out. Jesus does not have a problem with the integrity of that word, the what of it. being the truth, being Scripture. It was stated accurately. What he's going to challenge is the originator of the information coming to him in this situation. Is this God speaking? The Bible verse is true, but it is God speaking to me in this situation. Back to computer land. Does anyone know what phishing is? Now, if you take a survey in Port Byron, out here in our community, probably most of the answers might come back, at least half, I would say, is wetting a line. Putting a worm in the water, propping a pole on a Y-shaped stick on a, and waiting for a bullhead to bite. This is a different kind of fishing. This is spelled P-H-I-S. It's a different, it sounds the same, but it's different. In fact, this morning, Gretchen was working on finishing up her music sheet and said those words that make a computer guy's hair stand up. Do I click on this as she's mousing over the OK button? To me, knowing what can happen in these situations, it's like a bomb, all ready to go, with that tiny little button blinking red on the top, looking so nice, and then having a young child come up to that device. And what do they see? The little red blinking button. That looks so nice. I think I'll press that. No, don't press it. Okay, no, those pop-ups, forget the pop-ups. Forget the email that says you need to log into your account and check something. Phishing is often done by email or pop-ups. You get a logo saying that you need to do something. You click on the link and it even looks like your bank. It looks exactly like the login page. The logo's perfect. It's horrible. It's evil. It's deception. You're right. You log into this phishing phony site. And all of a sudden, your computer goes crazy. And guess what? They just stole your password, and they completely destroyed your computer at the same time. So you can't even have a recourse of action. You can't find the contact information because you're so reliant on this internet to find who to even call. And you got to go look at this thing. And is this a phone book? How do you use it? Deception. Phishing. What appears to be integrity. It looks right. It's exactly how the logo is supposed to be. It even accepted my login, all these things. It is coming from a source that is not who they say they are. This can happen in the Bible. You're reading it today. The devil is quoting God's word. That is so messed up. Phishing websites are messed up. You're right. This is messed up, that's messed up. It's part of what we call deception. It's out there. It's not fair. You're right, it's not fair. But be on guard, be ready, be prepared. This is the world we live in. A phishing attack is taking place on Jesus here. The data is correct, verse 10 and 11. It's probably in your margin. It points to Psalm 91, verses 10 and 11, stating a promise of God. His angels will catch you. You won't dash your foot on a rock. Devil saying basically, hey, here's a promise of God. Cash, withdraw from the bank and spend it. Withdraw from this bank of truth, the word of God, and go spend it. Go believe on the promise. Go do it. Jump off this pinnacle. No problem with the integrity of the word. Solid. It checks out. But how does he know that it's God speaking? The word of God is living and powerful and sharp. The phony website cannot provide the power that is to deliver the money to you. It's phony. It's stealing. It's taking. This is the case happening here. The presentation of the Bible looks to be accurate, but it cannot provide the power. If Jesus jumps off the temple, that's it. He's just committed sin, in fact. It's first. If he were to do that, and it would be over for you and me. By the way, Satan is fishing with a bank of truth. He's presenting a phony thing for Jesus to log into. He wants Jesus to click in, to make that withdrawal, to put his login and password by dismounting from the temple, committing to this phony fishing presentation before him. This is a real temptation. The heat of the battle is on. We need to remember that. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. And now he's being jerked around by the tempter, messing with his head, causing confusion, even putting the word of God in there in a confusing way. That's not fair. You're right. Be prepared for the attack of the enemy. Integrity of Jesus is at stake. Integrity of truth. Jesus is not just standing for a truth, but the truth. Jesus is truth. And that is being challenged with all the power of the enemy. What great courage, remember the sandwich, and patience Jesus will demonstrate through his life to preserve the truth all the way through as pure, spotless, all the way through, and provide that truth for you and me to set us free. Keep in mind here, Jesus is being taken to a high place. This is the second time Jesus pulling him up to a high place. That's a direction of pride, to puff up. That's a direction that Satan wants you to be, prideful, puffed up. Another thing to take note of here. The contrast of two powers being presented to us. One born in a manger, the other the king of lust and wicked powers. One of humility and meekness, the one our Savior, precious Savior. The other of king of lust, wicked powers and pride. High places. Praise God. Wow. It's time to land this plane, right? Here we go. How do we know? I still have not answered the question. I can't let you go until I answer the question. How do you know it's from God? We're working on that, aren't we? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Uh-oh. We need a tool. The natural man, how you were born, how you came out of mama, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishnesses. How do you say that word? Help me out.
Foolishness.
Thank you. Unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need a tool. There's a hint there. We're missing something that helps us to be able to say, yes, this is God's voice. Okay, I can see the Bible. Somebody handed it to me and says the Word of God. Okay, integrity. It has the future predicted. It comes to pass. It kind of self-authenticates. All right, I believe this is the Bible. Now I need to hear from the Word of God. How does that happen? You need a tool. It is spiritually discerned. The natural man has to be penetrated by this gospel that we speak, that we present. It's a plow that it goes through the soil of humanity. And in that process of being penetrated, the Holy Spirit is deposited. This is nitty-gritty, folks, isn't it? It's really about hearing from God. It's really about, it's such an important subject. It's about the daily grind as well, the attack from the enemy. Standing true to who you are, who God has declared you to be. So it's more than just the letter of the word here, but there's the spirit aspect being brought forward. So not of the information, but the divine agency that provides this word. So it's more than the what, the contents of this Bible, but the who that's presenting and speaking to you and me. By the way, how do you know when you log into a website, especially if it's a bank one, your finances, all your hard-earned money, how do you know that it is a secure one? There's a silent partner. It's crazy how much this parallels. There's a silent partner, and it's represented by a little tiny lock on the very top where it has the name of the bank. You go www.firstniagara.com. Right next to the right of that, on the top, not in the body, you'll see a very tiny lock. That's the silent partner at work there. Look for it next time you do that, if you get online and do those kind of things. Click on that lock. It will tell you about your silent partner that you did not know you had. There's a silent partner. It's called a CA, a certificate authority, that has verified this place is who they say they are. Certificate authority. It's a silent partner. Authority, a trusted agency, a third party verifying who they say they are. This third silent partner is key to safe transactions on the World Wide Web, which is a dangerous place filled with deception. The company I work for had to go through a process to get one of these CAs to be on our website. We couldn't do business without that silent partner saying, hey, they are who they say they are. Jesus could not do business with the tempter in the desert without a silent partner. Ah, oh, I know where you're going. Huh? What did Jesus download just before he went into the desert? Now you're talking crazy. You're mixing the two worlds up completely. I'm not crazy. Take a look at the last event before he went into the desert. It's in the last chapter, verse 21 and 22. You're going to see a download there. And all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, thou art my son, and in thee I am well pleased. The authentication, the authority, certificate authority, all that being presented right here. So the download came, and that's that little application that Jesus would carry with him, the Spirit of God, that would verify who was speaking the Word of God. His silent partner in the desert would authenticate the source of truth, the bank of truth, the Word of God. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, working together, providing us the truth. Very important to understand their relationship, understand how we go after the truth. The pre-established, trusted source, while we are in the worldwide web of wilderness, deceit, and suffering, and stinky feet looking to trip us up, is the same thing, is the Holy Spirit. This is where the rubber meets the road. How do we develop the proper use of the Word? How do we follow Jesus? We pray as Jesus did during his baptism. We download that certificate authority known as the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do I do that? The Lord said this to us. He said, if a son asks for bread of his father, will you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Our approach needs to be one of belief that it is there for the asking. God said it is. The Holy Spirit is there for the asking. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to be guided into all truth. He wants us to have the material, the what and the who, to authenticate how we're hearing God. There's a baptism of water, folks, and that is for the washing of our sins. It symbolizes the washing of our sins. And there's a baptism of fire, and that's the giving of the Holy Spirit to you. How do I get this fire? I want this fire. Give me this fire. I will pay anything. Stop right there. It's free. This download is the most elaborate, expensive, precious, valuable download you will ever download. We do the extreme hard work of clicking, I agree. I agree that I'm a sinner. I agree that I was born with a sin container, and I did a pretty good job in the shopping mall of sin filling up my cart. I did a pretty good job in the shopping mall of sin filling up my cart. I'll have a little of that, and wow, some of that, and maybe a little bit of that, because just as long as I take a little, no one knows about it, I'm not hurting anybody, I'll just have just put a little bit in my cart there. It's still sin. I went through the seven-item lane in Wegmans with Maddie, and he had about 20 items. And man, he get some looks. I still bust him about it. According to God, seven items, 700 items, even one item is a purchase declaring your identity as a sinner. You verified who you are by filling your container. You were born with a sin container that's empty, and you start filling it in your life. Does it matter if the purchase is a 10-cent candy cane? You made the purchase. Adam and Eve, it was just one item. Paul Myers, many items in that cart. That's me. There is one lane in the store that the world needs to know about. It's the gospel lane. And Jesus is at the register waiting to pay for your purchase and take those items that he paid for away out to the dumpster. He takes you out of that mall of sin into the kingdom store. Sacred melody. He takes you out to a place filled with the fruits of the Spirit and helps you fill your cart. He said, this is the place to shop, Paul. This is the new life. No, go back. No, go back there. No, back over here. Into this store. No, don't even look through the windows. Back at that store. Stay in the store. Here you go. Push your shopping cart. Look at the fruits of the Spirit on every aisle. Man, look at the people singing that work here. Look at the joy. Look at the peace. Look at the stuff that's in the store of the kingdom of heaven. Stay in here, Paul. Stay within these four walls and this roof and this foundation. Stand on it. Shop in here. Enjoy life. Life. Life and a life abundantly. I provided it for you. I love you, Paul. Stay in here. Don't look over there. Please don't look over there. But Jesus. But Jesus, you know, there's this one, you don't have this one item. You don't have this one item. So goes our daily walk. With this Spirit that God has promised to give us through the baptism of the Spirit, I'm going to invite you this morning to be a part of. We are able to make withdrawals from the bank of truth, from the Word of God, continually going in and making withdrawals and know that we're hearing from God. Our approach to the Word should be spiritual, not carnal. I'm not looking for bullets to shoot my loved ones with. I got her now. I'm looking for truth. I'm looking for truth to energize love. Not fuel my anger. I'm looking for truth so I can sit, walk, and stand. I'm looking for truth to sit, to know. Terry talked about it this morning. Jen talked about it this morning, to be able to. Gretchen did as well, to be able to sit, stand, and to walk these things. I want to be able to sit. I want to be able to know who I am in Him, my identity as a creature in Christ. Not reformed, transformed. I'm looking for the truth to be able to walk now in this new identity, to hear from God so I know what He wants me to do. Even how to orient my thinking and attitude upon life, how to see things, how to perceive, how to look across the street at somebody and see them through the eyes of God. Not the eyes of desire, eyes of want. And finally, looking for truth out of here to finally stand. Roger read that this morning. I believe someone else read that as well. To be equipped to stand against fear. Doubt from the enemy, just arrows on fire being sent at us. Deception, the phishing attacks, all of these things. It's not fair. Yeah, you're right. They're there. Be equipped to be able to stand against these things. Integrity, true grit. Do the work of the Word. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I have an exercise for you to do this week, is to be able to share something on whatever social media or physically, you know, be able to speak with other people. Truths, bring out the Word of God that has to do with your identity and who you are. For example, you read some this morning in Ephesians. Here's your hint. Ephesians has all the answers here. That particular book, along with the whole Bible. But Ephesians will be able to address all of these. Your identity, who you're, this new person that you claim you are is, put that out there. Put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram, put it on all these things. Talk with it. Talk about it with the people that you know, who you are in Christ. Share that. Number two, you're walking. Share verses about that. Share truth about that. And that's your hearing from God and walking it out. Hearing the will of God, discerning the will, and walking it out. Talking about your walk. And number three, standing. Show your grit this week. Show your true grit for truth this week. Being bold, being patient, enduring when somebody gives you, flips you off because you're talking Bible. Show your true grit for truth. Patience, love, boldness, courage. the truth in the middle there. Share about standing. Share verses about standing. And that's exactly where Jesus ended up after this battle. He ended up standing. Praise God. So we leave this today knowing that Jesus left standing, that we are to do the same. He's not running away, he's not hiding, but he's standing. His identity was established in the spirit, not in the flesh. His authority was established in God and not man or the world and its ways. His integrity was established in truth, the word tried, and the source God, the word of God. Praise God. Let's pray this morning. If you do not know anything what I'm talking about, let me tell you today that God loves you. And that you are a sinner. Those two facts need to be dealt with. You have a creator. You're accountable to that person. The sin in your life is keeping you separate from God. That sin container has things in it. Even one thing. Even a small thing. And that container is filled. It's declaring who you are. A sinner. The Lord God is inviting you to trade that identity for a new one. I am no longer an addict. I am no longer a sinner. I am no longer this and that. I am a new creation in Christ. That's your true identity. Even though you feel the pulls of temptation, you feel the pulls of the world, that does not identify you. You identify with God now. He's inviting you to do so, and it takes place this way, by confessing your sins before Him and saying, I'm a sinner, Lord. Pray with me. I am a sinner, Lord Jesus Christ. My sin container has things in it, Lord God. It speaks to who I am. I am looking to be changed. I'm looking for that cart to be emptied. Lord God, I trust what you did on the cross pays for that and takes it out to the dumpster and it's gone forever. I'm going to follow you, Lord, into a new place, a place of transformation, of being new before you, God, having a new name, having a new identity. I'm going to stay in that place too, Lord God, as tempting as it is to look out the windows. I'm going to stay in that place by your strength and by your power. Hold on to me, God. I'm going to ask for your Holy Spirit now. I need your Spirit to hear your truth. And it's confusing, Lord, in this world. It's trying to figure everything out. I'm done with that. I want you to tell me the truth. And I want to know it's from you. Fill me with your Spirit that I might know your truth. Direct me, God. Show me the path to take, the decisions to make this week. Glory to you, Lord, and praise your name, Lord God Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.